Are we back? Did you just say we survived? What did we survive? You survived worship? Oh. Okay. I was like, wow, you survived worship? At least you're honest. Yeah, that's why I never preach from a tablet. Really? Wow. Well, you know, we're still learning, and with the new tech, we're having new malfunctions, and because they're new malfunctions, we're not really familiar with how to fix them, so now we're having, like, and of course, they always, when the malfunction happens, it's not at 6 a.m., it's at 10 a.m., right? When, so, you know, it's not a time where we can actually fix things. So, wow, I think sometimes there's, like, a plan there, I don't know. Yeah? Cool.
I probably could.
Awesome. Like that. Maybe. We'll talk to Lenny in the back and we'll see that like that. Thank you. Cool. All right. Are we ready? Did we get everybody? Oh, they're still coming in. Cool. The confusion in the halls. Kids saying, what do you mean it's not my room? I always go to that room.
It wasn't this color.
Yeah. I always go there. Now you're telling me no. All right. Cool. Let's pray. Jesus, please speak to us today. Lord, we open up our ears. We ask for you to speak. We're hungry for you to speak. We're desperate for you to speak. Lord, your word is more important than food and life itself. Your word gives us the guidance. It gives us hope. It gives us an understanding of what is happening, Father, when things are going crazy. It gives us a connection to our Father. Lord, your word is life itself to us, and so we ask that you come and you bring it, Jesus. And Lord, I just prepare our hearts, Father, to say yes and amen, just as you are saying yes and amen from your throne in heaven for us, God. We receive all that you have for us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're on this topic of the kingdom of heaven. It's been fun to just kind of float in the early couple chapters of Acts. Will we go through all of Acts? I don't know. I'm just sort of winging it, honestly. We Chris and I, we trade notes back and forth, and we sit with the Lord and say, God, is there anything else you want to try to squeeze out of this this part before we move on? And yeah, lately we've been like ringing it out. So we're still in that Acts 3 and 4 area, okay? Was that? You got two? You're double fisting? Oh, okay. That's awesome. I've never seen people with two Bibles. That's awesome. Like you're holier than anybody. All right. So what we talked about last week quickly, that one of the major pieces of it is that God has been bringing his church through difficult challenges over the past, the recent past, okay? I'm not talking about long, long ago. The church of this area has been going through some real shaking. I would say it started, not just River, but a lot of churches, it started prior to a year ago, October, okay? And all the churches were seeing a shaking, and there was actually some prophetic words that were spoken even at that time from people who were saying, hey, God is doing a shaking in the church. And, you know, why would he do that? Why would he shake his church? Well, he's interested in shaking us loose of some things that are not necessarily for us. And he's teaching us how to hold on to him when there are no other options and when there's no alternatives and when, right, when there is no plan B and right, when everything else just sort of shakes out of our hold and we feel like, okay, we're out of control. That's when he's like, that's exactly where I want you to be because the only person or only thing I want you to depend on is me, he would say, right? So we struggled with this today. I'm getting rid of it. Now I can, there, amen. We also want to build an enduring faith, and the only way to build an enduring faith is to drag it right through the center of chaos. It's easy to have faith when you pray, it happens instantly, right? Oh, those are wonderful times. I love those seasons, man, where you pray and it's like poof. There's a scripture in Isaiah that even says, I'll answer before you finish praying. It's like, I love those seasons. But they do not develop an enduring faith. And so what I find is God's heart tends to lead us through seasons where, you know, there are seasons where, man, I pray a bam. And then there are seasons where he's like, nope, now I'm going to not answer on purpose just to make you dig, make you really stretch, right? And what's the first thing? What's that? You get stronger. You do. You become more like Jesus. And what is the thing that happens when he says, you know, wait, I'm gonna just put the pause on that request. We normally first ask God, did I do something wrong? Right? Yeah. Right? And that's good. The first thing that typically most Christians I find search for is the formula. Did I do it right? Right? And that can last anywhere from a long time to 5 minutes. But it happens, right? Did I do the formula wrong? Did I say in Jesus' name? Did I have the faith? Right? Check. Okay. And then you ask, is it me? Is there sin in my life? Did I have a fight with my wife and not apologize? And now we're, you know, something between us and she's mad at me and you're holding back my prayers? Right? Right? Because that's a thing.
Anxiety now.
Right? Am I the only person that does this? No. You're all smiling. So. And then after you get past that, okay, so she loves me. Then it's like, am I holding unforgiveness? Am I bitter towards somebody? And then we do the inventory. Go back to, you know, being a baby and walk your way all the way up to the present. Is there anybody I'm holding anything against, right? And sometimes God gives us the gift of saying, yes, there is, right? Now, not answering the prayer is actually good for us because if there's unforgiveness or bitterness, it forces us to have to attack that thing. And we will attack it with sincerity and we won't him and haul as we go about it because we know now it's starting to affect us. Yes? So in his mercy, he teaches us how to forgive and forgive quickly. Great. And then once we've done that checklist and we're like, God, I feel like I'm clear. I must be going through a Job moment here. Right? So then we read Job. We say, okay, so I must be one of the good ones and the devil's just ticked off. Right? And there's a truth to that. There's a time where the enemy says, okay, you're making too much of an advance in this area or in a great or small personal or corporate area, right? And I need to resist you. And he will try. But the gates of hell will not prevail, right? But it's a thing. And it reminds us how much we need the Lord and how we cannot do this in our own strength. And so then we have to dump off some of our flesh and we got to depend on him, right? And then once we're like, okay, check, I've done all that now. Sometimes the Lord, then we ask, you know, Lord, why didn't it happen? And is this one of those cases where you said this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting? So then we got to say, oh, am I supposed to fast? Right? I mean, we're bringing out all the Christian toys. This is real, isn't it? It's absolutely real. So then we ask God, how am I supposed to fast? What am I supposed to fast? How long am I supposed to fast? Is it food? Is it entertainment? Is it, right? This is all good. We should talk about these things because it's human and it's okay to recognize our humanity. And it's okay to talk about our frustration and that process where, you know, when Jacob was renamed Israel and we would love to think that that was this beautiful time where an angel or Jesus himself showed up and, you know, it was, I'm changing your name. I'm making you a great nation. It wasn't. It was messy. It was a wrestle in the mud all night contest. Like, right? Literally in the mud wrestling. And when he was done, it wasn't like he walked out with an upgrade. He actually walked out of that fight with a downgrade where the Lord actually put his hip out of joint. And so in the wrestling, he walked away physically worse off. Thanks, God. Right? But he was marked by that experience. And you could, you know, guess if he would have come home and said, hey, honey, you're never going to believe it. I just wrestled with God all night. And she's going to be like, yeah, right. Right? But he's like, look, I can't even walk right. Oh, okay. Maybe there's something to it, right? There was a blessing. He was marked by the struggle. And it made him who he was. And you could never go back to that moment and say, I wonder if he really is that person that he thinks he is. And I wonder if he really did have that encounter with God. There was no mistaking it. He was marked by that situation. And that is something that can happen as well. So you've come through all that self-inventory we just talked about, and you've arrived to your prayer, and you're fasting, and you've resisted the enemy, and you've cleared your heart of unforgiveness, and you've made sure you're straight with your spouse. And you get to that point where you're just like, God, what the heck? And he's like, I'm marking you with something that will last forever. And when people see you, I don't care if it's ugly, they will know. They will know, and you will know. You'll never go back and question. You'll never go back and question if that was real. Maybe you were having this glorious pizza moment. You'll know. You'll look, you'll feel that again. Like, oh yeah, I really did take on a big one, and I won. You know what I mean? That's enduring faith. That's not at all what I wanted to talk about, but it's what the Holy Spirit is saying right now, okay? And some of you are asking, and I'm just going to flow here, but some of you are asking, God, just take me into the deep places. And he's like, okay, but you won't walk right when you're done. And that's okay. I'm not saying he's going to damage you, but you aren't going to walk the same, and that's good. You don't want to walk the same, especially if you've got little Pharisee tendencies, right? You want him to break that and put that little hip out of joint. You know what I'm, am I speaking too deep or is this like plain English? Okay. See, sometimes I use too many metaphors. I get lost in the metaphors. Okay. All right. So for some of you who are asking, God, I want to go deeper. I want more. I want more of your spirit. I want less of me in my life. God, I have to have something else than what I had yesterday. It is perfect. Just be ready that things are going to shift and break, and it's not going to look the same, and that's okay. And that's what we're going to talk about today. As we open up our Bibles here to Acts 3, 17 to 22, Peter is, Peter and John, they just healed this beggar, and the beggar couldn't walk, and he healed him up, and guess who got mad? Everybody else? Actually, there was only a specific group of everybody else. Most of the people, 90% of the people, were extremely happy. There was one, yeah, the Pharisees, right? Now, Pharisees in and of themselves are not bad things, right? They're just, we're going to call them, they were the leaders of the religion, the temple. We're going to call them church leaders. Can I call it that? They were getting upset because the first problem was Jesus, and they thought they took care of him. And now comes along Peter and John, who are saying, but in the name of Jesus, you can get up and walk. And they're like, oh, how many of these people do I have to kill to have my way here, right? Well, what was the way that they wanted? They wanted control. They wanted security. They wanted to be in a place where they had everything they were comfortable with packaged in a way they wanted and positioned themselves in charge, okay? Now, what am I getting about that? There's a piece of each one of us, whether we are Pharisees or not, right? There's a piece of us that loves everything to be in a way that we want it to be, comfortable. I always like it this way. This is, right? Yeah? Anybody like it when someone in your car turns your music to something else they want? That's one small example, right? One small example. You're worshiping, and then someone's like, and turns it all over to something else. You're like, toi! Right? That's my thing, right? And I'm just talking about human behavior now. I'm not preaching against changing radios. I'm getting to this point. There's a piece of us that loves our comfort to be a certain way. We love it when the preaching is a certain way. There's people that you probably have like five main ministers you love to listen to, and then everybody else you're kind of like, whatever. Yeah? Because we're comfortable with those. We trust them. We like it, right? And it goes with everything. The way you pray, the quiet time that you spend with him, the devotionals you like to do, the books you tend to buy and focus on, right? The way you approach God, it all becomes this habit, and it's comfortable. And Jesus was like anything but comfortable. Matter of fact, it almost felt like when everything was getting comfortable, he would blow stuff up. Doesn't it? Like, that's what I see when I read the Bible. Like, he would say things like, you know, a guy would be like, yeah, I want to follow you. I just got to bury my dead father. He'd be like, no, let the dead bury the dead. Jesus, why did you say that? Why didn't you just be like, oh, I'm so sorry about your loss? And Jesus was like, it wasn't for him. It was for everybody else to hear me say it. I was just picking a fight. Right? He was like that, or in the temple when he was, you know, like chasing out and dumping tables, and he braided a whip. I mean, where does a carpenter learn to braid a whip? I have no idea. Well, he knew, man, and he didn't even have YouTube. And he he braids a thing, right? And he's like throwing tables and he's whipping and he's and I'm like, I'm not advocating violence in the church. I'm just saying, man, Jesus just did the stuff that was against our comfort because he did not want the little Pharisee in all of us to feel comfortable and justified remaining the same forever. Living word. Amen. I love how, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail for a second. I love how as soon as Jesus got done whipping these guys and throwing tables, I don't even know how he pulled this off. I wish I could see it. Children come running up and worshiping him. Affection. Like, what takes a dude who's like in full-on throwing table mode and kids are like, hey, Jesus! Like, kids are usually like, oh, look at that creepy dude. Stay away from him. Right? Radar. And I don't know how he pulled that off. I want to see it. I swear when I go to heaven, I want to turn on the video. And I got to see that thing play out. How the kids knew. The kids knew he's upsetting the norm, but that's okay. It's time to play. It's time to get messy. Yeah, throw some tables. I can see a couple of the really rambunctious kids who were like, yeah, throw something. Jesus did it. All right, I digress, I swear. It's okay to be uncomfortable, and let's just start reading here. Friends, this is Peter now preaching to everyone who's listening, including the Pharisees. Friends, I realize that what you did to your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. What are you talking about? When you killed him. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. First thing he was trying to say is, hey, I realize that you didn't really know what you were doing, but you were really just protecting the status quo of your life and all that makes you comfortable and all the effort you've put into getting where you are today. I realize that's all you were doing, but now it's time to repent because that was wrong. No harm, no foul, as long as you repent. And you know, it just reminds me of this thing that God is training up people not to resist him. And so he will change the status quo of our life just to make sure we don't slip into, this is comfortable, this is my groove, this is my gym, right? I'm like small little examples, even today, not having the, you know, Scott, not everything like we like it, now suddenly changes the way we worship, doesn't it? Because it's uncomfortable and it's weird and maybe we weren't off rhythm. Who cares? Can we, you know, that's the question. Can we worship even though it's different? Right? Can we worship even if the music goes out? Can we read our Bibles if the screens are down? Now take it back home to you and your life. Can you worship if the kids are going nuts? Can you, right? I mean, right? If you and your wife are disagreeing, can you still maintain an encouraging, loving attitude for her? Can we? This is just questions, right? And the Lord is allowing these things because he doesn't want us to ever be comfortable. And this is how we work well together. This is the way I like it. Once I line it up, I don't like to go back and undo it and redo it and change things. And right? We are creatures of comfort. So they wanted what was comfortable. They wanted what was benefiting to them. This doesn't sound bad. They were not prepared to make room for anything else other than comfort and benefit. And then that over time is what led to jealousy, which led to manipulation, which led to murder. But in the beginning, they weren't just saying, hey, I got an idea. Let's kill Jesus. It was, you know what, man, the guy's coming in. He's a nobody. He doesn't have any right to presume to be who he thinks he is, right? Right? Are we all settled now? Okay. We're good? Okay. Not yet. That's okay. He can take it. But it was those desires to defend what is comfortable and what benefits that led to the jealousy when someone else came in and upset that. It led to trying to manipulate, to bring the system back. You know what I mean?
Their traditions, they were mm-hmm. really into their traditions.
Yeah, you're right. Yep, by the time Jesus was there on the planet, they had added 700 additional commands, right, to what was in the Old Testament. They were really hemming in their what they wanted, right? The structure, if you will. And we do it. We do it. We do it all the time. We defend ourselves. We defend our habits and our likes and our activities and all that stuff that we know is not a hand. We defend it, don't we? What we spend, we do. But here's the good news, and this is what we see. Jesus is leading the charge with a blessing of repentance. Don't you love it how he said that? The blessing of repentance. No, yes, I am a sales guy. The blessing of repentance. I mean, think about what he said. Friends, I realize you did this. You killed a dude, and his name was Jesus. And, you know, it was all part of God's plan, but now it's time to repent. Now it's time to turn to God. That's what repentance means, right? It's time. And so I was eating lunch with a pastor this week, and he's a cool guy, and he's one of those guys that likes to just ask thought-provoking questions. He's not much for small talk. So he's like, where do you see the church going in, let's say, the next 6 months? Where do you see that like, and if God was going to do something in the church, what would you like to see him do? And I said, I see him moving in such a very real way. I see the Spirit of God coming out and showing us what he did in the book of Acts in a practical, tangible way in our life. But before we get there, I see us entering through a time of repentance. Good answer. No, but here's, I mean, I swear to you, that is what I see. I see us going through a time, and I'm not saying, hey, everybody look at your neighbor. They're sick, perverted sinners, right? I'm like, I like all of you, and I'd say we're like 90% cool. But there's that 10% that's in each one of us that is unsurrendered to the Father. And that's the peace that he's like, I'm not pouring out my biggest, most precious gift, the Spirit, in an amazing way just so that you can now defend and fight against me and get mad at me when it happens and then try to manipulate your way and then eventually throw down your stuff and walk out. Because it's not comfortable and it's not the way you're used to it. It's not your jam, your groove, and how you've seen it done in the past. So his blessing of not pouring out his Spirit in an amazing way is for us to have time to repent and get less of us. Are you thinking? Is your squirrels turning? You're going to say something, Katie? Bitter compliance.
In some ways, I think we're like kids. When God wants us to go clean the room, and we're, you know, obviously, like parents are like, go clean the room. The kid's like, fine, I'll do it. And they go slam it upstairs, and they slam the door, and they clean the room. It's bitter compliance. Yes, they get the end job gets done, but there's so much frustration that happens with it. And I wonder if God, in some ways, with us, it's like we benefit like that. Mm-hmm. He wants something from us, and we do it, but we do it with a bit of attitude behind it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when our yes and amen turns into fine. Yeah, I hear you. That's probably a piece of that, right? So the Pharisees got mad when Jesus came in and did something new, and Jesus tried to tell them, hey, it's like, you know, old wineskins and new wineskins, right? And if you put the new into the old thinking, it's going to break, right? And Jesus was not saying, hey, you know, I'm going to break you. He was actually saying, I'd like you to repent and change so that you don't break. I don't want to break you. You know what I mean? I hear his heart in that. I've seen so many amazing moves of God, even though I know I'm not like this old dude, but I've seen enough. And each time I've seen them, I've watched people, you know, healed. I've seen thousands saved. I've seen people, thousands you know, like just their bodies physically healed, their emotions healed. I've seen amazing turnarounds in families. I've seen people just so hungry. People who could not read their Bibles are just like, I have to do it. I'm doing it all the time. I'm just like having relationship with him. And in that midst of all that stuff, like just imagine this circus where Jesus is the ringleader, if you will, and all this stuff is, amazing stuff is happening. There are ticked off people that are like, that's not of God. And they break. And I'm like, you know, in my heart, but you see these 10 things that went well and maybe one thing didn't. And that's okay, because we're all humans and we're stumbling and making mistakes. But we don't stop and get bitter about the one thing. Why can't we say hallelujah to the 9 and be like, hey, let's fix this, right? And I watch people just like throw, I'm done with this move of God stuff. And they leave and they shipwreck their faith, and they shipwreck, like, to the point that when we read our Bible, we're like, we read something like Peter and John healed this man in chapter 3, and we're like, well, that's not for us. Good on them, right? And then you get to the next piece, okay, and then, you know, and then, oh, well, that's not for me either. And after a while, you have this Bible where 90% of the pages don't apply to you. It's like reading a manual to build, you know, a dresser that you're like, well, I don't need about 50% of these pages. They're talking about how to fix a TV, right? And you start ripping those pages out so you can get to what matters. Jesus didn't give us a book that is like 90% doesn't matter and those 10% matters. If he did, why wouldn't we just like trim it down, right? I mean, I've been so tempted, I can't bring the nerve to deface a Bible, but I've been so tempted to like remove all the stuff in the New Testament that people generally have told me that doesn't exist. You'd lose like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You'd lose lots of Romans. You'd get to keep, you know, chapter 7, oh pathetic man that I am, right? You keep that one. But but then you got to lose 1 Corinthians, because it's all about like the gifts of the Spirit and how to handle them properly with character. And then you'd lose 2 Corinthians, which confirms, okay, now that I yelled at you, you're doing a great job doing it. Keep doing that more. So you got to chop that one now, right? And Galatians, now you can keep chapter 5, because that talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? Keep the fruit of the Spirit. But there's a lot of Galatians you got to get rid of, right? And Ephesians definitely has to go. Definitely, right? Philippians, yep, has to go. Colossians, definitely too much like Ephesians. Right? 1 and 2 Timothy, well, we got to get rid of that, because that even starts with stir up the flame that I laid my hands on you, stir up that gift. No! No gifts! Right? Keep your hands off me. Titus, you know, there's so much that would have to go. You lose all the power, and what you're left with is a couple of character things, and now you're left asking why, right? And really, the gifts and the power and the character of God, it's all the same thing. It's the same Spirit. You can't go out and, you know, raise the dead and then curse someone out and have an attitude, right? God doesn't want that. Just like he's not pleased with having such a loving heart and being like, but the gospel has no power whatsoever. It's both. That's what brings the world in. What were you going to say, Linda?
I was going to say that's called
the redacted. Redacted, yeah. I would love to do it just for more of like a word picture of seeing, wow, that's what big my Bible would be. Like my New Testament is like that, you know? I think Thomas Jefferson.
Oh. Yeah, this one makes sense. And there you should see everybody in the book.
Oh, so someone else did it.
Okay,
got it. That works. Thomas Jefferson did something like that, but yeah. But his was not about that. It was about like what he disagreed with. He would cut it out. All right, Pete, last thing, and then I'll move on.
I've seen his Bible at Monticello.
Yeah.
On the table next to it. It's very thin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was too self-focused when he did it. It was all about what he didn't like. So. All right. Let's keep on reading. So the repentance piece comes first, right? Now repent of your sins, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And then, can we say then?
Then.
I'm so glad there's a then. Times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. It's not like, hey, times of refreshment are coming, and when he comes, then you will repent in the magnitude of all that refreshing goodness. You'll be like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm ready to trade all my junk out now. It's almost like a cart before the horse condition that I'm seeing here. Repent now and then, right? And you're like, okay, well, maybe he was preaching to just the sinners, right? Just the Jews, just the non-believers at this moment, and this applies. And you know what? I don't see that. I don't see that. These are people who were following God with all their heart, right? They just didn't quite have the full picture of Jesus. I would call them children of God, not from a salvation perspective, but the whole Old Testament, they had been brought up, you're a children of God, children of promise, right? And those are the people, the children of God, the children of promise. I mean, they're getting spoken to at the temple of God, right? These are not sinners, if you will, heathens, right? Lost people. They were seeking God, and they wanted his best in their life. They wanted his blessing. They were hungry to know him. And then and he's like, and yet you still have another level to go of repentance. And what I find is the cycle of God's love in my life has always been the way you come in is the way you keep rolling. Salvation is a road. It's a door, and it's a road, right? And you got to continue on that narrow road. And so there are times where in the refining process, stuff comes up. You didn't know it was there. And you got to repent and have it slagged away. And then you boil on a little while and you're like, I am pure. And then you, a little while later, it bubbles more stuff. Oh, I'm not pure. Repent, get rid of it, right? You don't get to say, hey, I did that on September 24th, 1978. I don't have to repent again. Right? Repentance is a thing. It's a season that you walk into. It's a lifestyle, and it's a season. So there are days where you make a mistake, 5 minutes later, repent, 5 minutes later, make a mistake, 5 minutes later, repent. I'm not talking about those days. I'm talking about the days where you're saying, okay, I'm done with the every couple minutes doing the same thing over and over. I'm done with that. I'm moving that out of my life completely. I'm opening up the doors of my heart. I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, and I will have fellowship with man and with God, and I, right? Right? Amen. Is this, I'm looking for the clock and it's a TV.
You took it away on purpose.
Yeah. Can I read to you Psalms 32 really quickly? I've seen God use this chapter in an amazing way. I don't know if I'll tell you. But let's read it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. This is written by David, by the way. Oops, could we? Thank you. Written by David, who is a man after God's own heart, okay? Right? And he's talking about repentance. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. That's huge, huh? Whose lives are lived in complete honesty. There are believers who are not being honest because we're hiding stuff that we don't want the world to know about, and we especially don't want the church to know about, because if they knew, you know, the fear is, well, they're going to either see us as not who we've been saying we are. It's embarrassing. They might kick us out. In some churches, they will, right? We're just not honest. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Interlude. That means think about it. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord and you forgave me and all my guilt is gone. And that sailor right there means flip the slide. Could we flip the slide? Please? Would you mind? Is it stuck? Yeah? Yeah. It's awesome. Okay. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there's still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. Did you catch that? Let the who pray? The godly, not the pathetic heathen sinners. You know, I'm getting that? Godly people, it's time, right? For you are my hiding place. It's a good song. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. In some translations, it's songs of deliverance. Amen. I loved it. I was. I think it's okay. It's not gossip. There was a person, they were struggling with addiction, and anytime I talked to them about it, they were like, "Not a problem. Leave me alone. Not a problem." And I, you know, we prayed for him, and for about a year, we had a relationship, and this person was very involved in so many activities of the church that were good. Like, you know, if you called a prayer meeting, this person was there. Like, they loved the Lord. There was no part of my life that would doubt they didn't love the Lord. I knew they did, absolutely loved the Lord. But stuck in something, you know? And when we get stuck in things, that becomes the comfortable norm. We're not willing to part with it. And so this person would say, "It's not a problem, leave me alone." Or they would say, "You don't know where I'm coming from, and you don't understand the pain I'm in today. If I walk away from that, then I have all this physical chronic pain to deal with," right? And it was like, it was a cycle that kept feeding itself. The more pain, the more, you know, mixing of things, and the mixture of things would cause more feeling horrible and inflammation, you know. And I'm in this place trying to show grace and truth at the same time, which is really bad place to be, because, you know, you want to be loving, but you want to speak truth. And anyways, at this one moment, I just felt like the Lord said, just give this person Psalm 32. So I literally opened up, slid it across the table, and said, "Will you please read that out loud?" And I watched the Holy Spirit just hit this person. And I mean, like, next day, signed up for a recovery program and has been free. And that person now is leading, like, recovery efforts, like leading the recovery centers, getting special training, doing special fundraisers for addicted people and their needs and the support they're going to need to kill it out. I mean, like, the very thing that this person was saying, "Leave me alone, it's not a problem," is now going after people who were in that situation and like making a big dent and getting other people out. You know what I mean? And the power was in, okay, I hear the message, I'm going to repent. That's it. That was it. No judgment. You know what I mean? And that's what I saw. That's what I saw in the Acts 3 previous slide, where he said, "Brothers, you know, we understand this was done in ignorance, but now it's time to just let it go and repent. Walk the other way, and then the times of refreshing will come." If you find yourself in, can we go back to one slide backwards? If you find yourself in this place where when I refused to confess, my body wasted away and I groaned all day and your hand was on me of discipline and it was heavy and my strength was evaporated, I felt like crap. Like, if that's a part of your life, that's easy. Fix it. We can repent. Just have a good old Psalm 32 moment, ceremony, where you say, "God, I'm coming back." And then it's time to open up the shades and let some people see in there. And that's the uncomfortable part. You're like, right? But I don't like people to see my mess. Nobody does. Right? Some people, man, struggle. It's like an anxiety thing. I can't let people see my mess. But it's time to just not care. Because we're not going to get out of it. Right? Jesus first. And then let others in. That's why they're the body of Christ. This is such a great message. Really, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get us all with all my heart to the times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. That's what I want. It's what gets me up in the morning. You think I'm kidding? Right. You know, like, get up in the morning, do the work thing, there's a man thing that kicks on and says, "Well, I have to provide, that's why I'm doing this." Yes, that's why we do that. But the reason I get up out of bed is because I'm like, "God, we got to see your presence. And the times of refreshing come once again in a miraculous way. I have to see the move of God on the church, and I have to see it in New England, because I mean, this place is so due for that. Overdue. We haven't seen anything like it since, what, D.L. Moody? We're talking on almost 200 years. No significant move of God in this area. Like, we're not even on the map of the devil's threat. Let's change that. Let's change that to where he's like, oh no, that's a hotbed for the Holy Spirit. And it starts with repentance.
But I think we are, right?
What's that?
We're starting to change
yes.
that because you and your work with the Milford community, recognizing the church,
yep.
reaching out.
It's true.
Without fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the community without fear, reaching out to the church and asking to join events. So it's beginning.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying we're pathetic and it's not happening. Thank you for that.
I didn't think you were.
Okay. I received that encouragement. Thank you.
And they see us by our actions because we are a community church.
Yep.
And our heart is for the community here at River. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they recognize you as the pastor and say, hey, can you come help us here?
Yes.
Can your leadership team do this?
Yes.
Sorry,
no, it's cool. You're right. And like the folks at the share dinner, they said, we like you. You people are nice. You smile. You talk to us. You, right? I'd like for them to add something else. It's like, I met Jesus because of you. I was healed because of you. I got free of this. The Lord changed my life because you guys came in, you gave me some spaghetti, but then something else, right? There was an unexplainable oomph of the Holy Spirit happened, and my life has never been the same. You know what I mean? That's.
But is it fair to say those interactions start by those smiles? And
yes, they do. They do.
And building that relationship and the consistency?
They do. You're right. To all those things. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's great. And so congratulations. Let's keep doing it. And then, man, who are those will see the Lord, who will ascend to his mountain? It's those with a clean hands, pure heart. Right? Now let's look at some of the times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord, and then we'll land this plane. But Psalms 9:9. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. I mean, I want people running into the presence of the Lord as they feel oppressed and broken or in trouble, right? First, I want you to do it. I want your families to do it. But I want to see the community running into the presence of the Lord because that's the place that they heard there was freedom, right? Just, you know, ask yourself, is that how the church is seen? Is the church noted for a place where oppressed people can be free? Right? And how do we get there? By each of us being a people who are so surrendered to him and so, you know, open to what he's doing in our life that we are a people who know the shelter of the Most High, who are not in oppression. Amen? Now we can only give what we've experienced. Psalms 27 says, one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections, meditating in his temple, for he will conceal me there when the trouble comes. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. And when we see temple in the New Testament, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what we're talking about here is in the presence of God. When we are alone and in his presence, that's where we get to see the Lord's perfections, but we also get to see that he conceals us there in trouble and he hides us, and then we are safe. We're in him, right? Make sense? And the situation may or may not change immediately, but it doesn't really matter in that place because we see what he's doing is on the inside, and then when the inside lines up with what the kingdom of God is doing, then the outside does change. And one day, you'll probably preach that one when you're ready. When you're ready. let's keep going. Next slide. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before a watching world. Isn't that awesome? Like the world is watching and understanding. That's how God works. I thought he was a mean, judgmental guy. And now I see him lavishing it, the love of God. And you know what I mean? Okay. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. And who have we studied was the accuser of the brethren? Oh, yeah. And so while he's still screaming, you know who you are. You know who your parents said you would be. You know what you did last week. You know how you don't deserve, right, the goodness of God. And he's in there saying, I have you. You're in my presence. You're in my shelter. Let him talk. It doesn't matter. He's just a voice. right? This is what I really feel. If I didn't like you, you wouldn't be right here. You know what I mean? Next one. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I'm trusting you. Show me where to walk. I give my life, myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. There's direction, and there's this specific, like, here's where to go next. Here's where to go next. And I say one of the most hungriest things I've seen in the church today is, I don't know what to do next. I just wish he would make it really plain, and then I would do it, right? And it's found in his presence. And brothers and sisters, I would like for you to repent. Then the times of refreshing will come. You know what I mean? You hear that, right? All right. Can we bring up the prayer time slides, and then we'll break off into our times of prayer? Yeah. Thing one says, train me to obey and not resist your voice. Take me deeper into repentance and refinement. If any part of you got an attitude at the word repentance, then you probably have something that the Lord's going to work with you on. Let me know the refreshment of your presence. Being alone with you is wonderful. And I didn't cover all the verses, but I gave you enough. Number three, let the power of your great name flow from intimacy with you, not information and perspective. Let people know you through me, not simply about you. Know what I mean? So busy trying to tell people about a God that we don't even demonstrate, or, you know? It's not personal, it's information. We need stories. Personal stories, huh? So, Father, said a lot, and doesn't mean anything unless your Holy Spirit breathes life on it and makes it speak to us and makes it applicable. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come, and I'm not interested in walking in any condemnation or just deflating ourselves and feeling bad for no reason. What I'm interested in, God, is your heart, that, Lord, you want us to return and have our times of refreshing in your presence. And if there's anything in the way, then, Lord, we just bring it before you. We ask that guilt and condemnation just be silenced right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that if there's any part of us that is, you know, just maybe not offered to you our time or our best because we're so busy with other things, Lord. Maybe it's just priorities are wrong. We're not walking in sin. We're just maybe not listening to where you're going and what you're directing. And I just ask, Father, if that's the case, then Lord, let it be you who leads us into repentance, not ourselves. God, today, I ask that you not allow us to do our own inventory and say, today I will fix X, Y, or Z. Lord, it's not about us and what we want. It's about you and what you want. And I pray, God, that you will highlight and put your finger on what you want to deal with. And Lord, help us to stay out of it. Holy Spirit, I just ask that Lord, your time of refreshing in your presence will come in such a mighty way that, Lord, we will have stories to tell of your goodness. And people will know, oh yeah, they've been with Jesus. So hungry to be in that place, God, where you are lavishing your love on us and it is evident to a watching world. Jesus, we just love you. With all of our heart, we love you. We come before you and we sit at your feet because there's nothing but love for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. So now, if we could, would you make yourselves uncomfortable? Kill that little Pharisee that says no. And will you join with a couple of brothers or sisters, you know, 3, 4, 5 people? And I'm not asking you to tell them your deep secrets, okay, and confess your sins to each other. All I'm just saying is, hey, is there a place where you can ask them to pray with you, or maybe you're open to pray for them in these attitudes, in these sins, or these things, and just see what he wants to do there? Can we do that? All right, let's get uncomfortable. We'll turn on music to drown out each other's noise. And let's pray, guys.